Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here in the Kia Studios. With you here for the full form. Do ask you to download the Odyssey.com app. We know you're not in the car as much as what you used to be, but you want to listen to the station and the show. What's the best way to do it? Odyssey.com app, right? Put that on one of your devices today. Take the smartphone, the Alexa speakers, tablet, your Laserdisc, Palm Pilot, Speak and Spell, Text Instruments Calculator, whatever your device is. Just download on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there. As always, the best way to be a part of the show, do it through our personal Twitter handles, at JMCH316. That, of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. On the other side of the glass for me producing the show, as always, Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. Lots to get into with you here this evening. We don't have to worry about Braves baseball tonight because they made sure they took care of their business early. It is getaway day in Major League Baseball. You know, Thursday is considered getaway day, so that's get your games in early, your business and specials out of the way. Braves, of course, wrapping up their series in Philadelphia. Let's check in and see how that went. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Hey, Braves lost in extra innings again. How many times have we heard that this year? Jarvis, can we just go ahead and record my voice on that and we'll just re-loop that throughout the season? Braves now 1-6 in extra inning games? Okay. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more in the next segment about the Braves. Whatever moves they can, I don't know. We'll get into this more in the next segment. But here's what we do know: Braves lose 4-3 today. By the way, how's come the Phillies were wearing their old school road jerseys today in that game? Because I was asking Mike. I was like, I thought the Powder Blues were the road jerseys back in the day, and they were, because the home jersey was the white with the red pinstripes on it. So for some reason, both teams were wearing road jerseys today in the game. But anyway, Philadelphia wins, extra inning game, 10th inning double by Segura, and he knocks in a couple, and Braves lose 4-3. Bullpen gives it up. Both starting pitchers were terrific. Ian Anderson, 7 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 4 strikeouts and a walk, 98 pitches. He was terrific today. Only outdone by Zach Wheeler, who pitched 8 innings of 12 strikeout ball. Who, by the way, Zach Wheeler leads the league in strikeouts now, in case you were wondering or didn't know. He leads the National League in strikeouts. He has been in fuego this year. He has had a real bounce-back season, and he is striking everybody out. His ERA dropped down to 2.29, by the way. So Braves lose it in extra innings. Here's all the fallout. So now the Braves go to 29-31 on the year. 12-14 on the season. They lose another half game to the Mets because the Mets are not playing today. So they lose another half game to the Mets. So now they're officially 4 games out of first place. And with the loss to Philadelphia, they go back from second in the division to third in the division. Because now the Philadelphia Phillies are a game ahead of the Atlanta Braves at 30-31. So good news all around, huh? Braves get ready to head to, and I'm sure they're probably already there by now, but they'll be in Miami for the weekend. Again, I can't imagine they can stink it up much worse. I'll probably tread lightly, but the Braves are quickly moving into New York Knicks trash level right now. Like, they can't get anything figured out. They get good starting pitching. They can't score runs, and they can't get their bullpen to stop anybody. They get a whole bunch of runs, and then that's when Smiley gives up, you know, 7 runs and 4 1/3. They can't get anything consistently going. They're at times as painful to watch as any Atlanta sports team because they can't get anything going. They struggle to manufacture runs at times. No, not at times. A lot of times. Struggle to manufacture runs. Some days they get really good starting pitching and it feels like they can't do nothing with it. Some days their starting pitching isn't worth a crap. Some days their offense can't do anything. Most days it feels like every day there's going to be one guy that comes out of the bullpen and can't get it done. Like every day that somebody from the bullpen comes out, one of the guys that pitches in a game will not get it done for the Atlanta Braves. There's always one of those guys. They'll have like 4 relief pitchers. 3 of them will be terrific, and somebody else will stink it up. Today was Chris Martin's turn, who didn't record an out. Is this a good line, Jarvis? No innings pitched, 3 hits, 2 earned runs. Because remember, the guy at second base in the extra innings doesn't count as an earned run. He gave up 3 runs total. But remember, the guy at second base doesn't count as a earned run. That leadoff guy, or what? I don't even know what they call that. I don't even know what they call that person on there. Minter didn't do a whole lot either. He pitched 2/3 of an inning. He gave up a run. You know, it is what it is. We'll talk more Braves baseball coming up in the next segment. Hawks, of course, get ready for action tomorrow night. Swing game tomorrow, as I believe. I really think that this is the swing game to really kind of give us a better view of how this series is going to look. But 35 minutes from now, we will talk to a friend of the show, my friend, former co-host Sam Mitchell. Of course, former NBA Coach of the Year, NBA analyst for NBA TV, TSN, everything like that. As per usual, Sam, I actually had to have Jarvis clip the interview down just a little bit because we go long. We are definitely going to get, as we get, you know, start coming back to a little bit of normalcy, we will definitely get Sam in studio. In fact, we were just kind of joking about that a little bit at the end of the interview and off air, is that, I'm going to get Sam in studio and we'll kind of mix it up and have some fun old times and things like that. So we'll talk to Sam Mitchell coming up here at 7:40. His thoughts about the Hawks and a couple of the things NBA related as well. So Falcons did wrap up mandatory minicamp today. Now, we will hear both from the head coach later on the Falcons flyover, and we will hear from the newest member of the Tennessee Titans as Julio Jones made his first appearance in front of the media today. People were tweeting out their videos of him at camp and this, that, and the other. So Julio Jones made his first meeting with the media. We'll hear what he had to say as well. You know, by all accounts, and again, take this for what it is and such like that. Obviously, Calvin Ridley did not participate in this. We knew that Ridley was not going to be a part of all of this. Guys that were getting high marks, Cordarrelle Patterson, at running back, by the way, too. And we knew that he was listed as a running back. That was what they listed him as, and then they cut Ito Smith. So we knew, you know, he'd been listed as running back, but, you know, just reading through some of the accounts, he looked good. He was actually doing some things in the run game. I don't know how that translates during the regular season. I don't know exactly how the Falcons will use him in the run game. Kadri Ollison, another name that people had good things to say about, as he'll get his first. I mean, really, this is his first legitimate chance in the NFL, right, to get some real playing time and make an impact. And, you know, they need him to do something. I mean, yes, they got Mike Davis. Understand, you know, he probably will be your lead back. But in the NFL, obviously, your second and sometimes your third guy are going to get plenty of opportunity for all of it. So Kadri Ollison is going to be a guy that you'd love to see him get his chance. Let's see what he can do. I've said before, I was a big fan of his at Pitt. I thought both those guys they had at Pitt were a really good duo, and he was part of that. So let's see what he can do. And this is where new coach, new eyes gets a chance to see a guy. You know, obviously it never felt like that he got really that kind of chance with the Dan Quinn regime to really show what he could do. Most of the time, always a healthy scratch for all of it. But reports are that he did well. Jalen Mayfield today was playing right tackle as McGarry just did not participate. I don't think it's an injury or anything. Just sometimes the guys just really don't participate in some of these drills and stuff. So Jalen Mayfield got a chance to play some right tackle today. So he was getting a little bit of exposure. Obviously, you know, the battle for center has started and gotten underway. You know, we know Kyle Pitts, another guy that we heard was lining up all over the field. I think it was our favorite local media news guy that said that he never saw Pitts line up in what felt like the same spot twice, that he was always, you know, lining up in different positions. So, yeah, we're, you know, we're getting our first taste of what the Arthur Smith offense and what this team will look like moving forward. And look, we won't learn anything about Arthur Smith until we actually get into real games and now you have to make real coaching decisions. That I'll be honest with you, that's the number one thing that I want to see as we get into the early part of the season. I understand the offense, this, that, and the other, but frankly, you've got a quarterback that's played for 12 years in the NFL. Okay, he's going to handle and take care of the offense. And we're going to talk some more Falcons football coming up at the top of the hour as well. But I know the offense is going to be okay. Defensively, you know, I want to watch, but most importantly is I want to see how this team is coached. I want to see what this team looks like as their coach. I want to see how this team comes out in the second half of a game. I want to see this team if it makes adjustments. I want to see how this team uses clock management. How do they use their timeouts? How do they look at down and distance? That's what I want to see. Because as we talked about, the Falcons last year, of course, 0-7 in one-score games. It's tough to screw that many games up in the NFL. And part of that is simply because, not necessarily a nice way to say it, simply because the other guys can screw it up worse than you, right? Like, you can screw it up and not be good, but you would figure that at some point, the other guy's going to screw it up even worse. You know, Mike McCarthy tried that. Mike McCarthy tried to out bad coach Dan Quinn, and Dan said, no. We're going to kick it on, you know, we're going to have an onside kick and not recover it. I'm going to show you how to take this thing to a different level. Because Mike McCarthy was getting completely outcoached in that game, and then Dan said, no, we got to stop this now. We have to put the brakes on this train, and I got to show you how you really bring your coaching down a whole nother level. So that's the thing that I am most eager about. The offense is what it is. The defense is what it is. Yeah, they've got to improve. Yeah, they've got to do that. We understand all that. We understand all of the on-field stuff. But the coaching aspect. Because this has not been a well-coached football team in a long time. Not even in the Super Bowl year. Super Bowl year was their offense figured it out and the quarterback played out of his mind. And you go to the Super Bowl because of it. Welcome to the NFL. How many times have we explained on this show about quarterback MVPs and where they end up at the end of the season? Cam Newton, Rich Gannon, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. Take your pick. Brett Favre. When your quarterback wins the MVP of the league, watch where your team ends up. Forget everything else. Watch where your team ends up, you know, if you have the MVP of the league at quarterback. They're going to be usually playing in one of the last, you know, couple of games of the season. You know, either championship game, Super Bowl, they're usually going to be right there. Even when it's the random guy winning the Super Bowl or winning the MVP, the Kurt Warner, the Rich Gannon, the Matt Ryan, the Cam Newton, right? All four of those guys ended up in the Super Bowl, their MVP year. So, you know, you just look at that and you know. So they weren't even really that well of a coach football team. You had a quarterback that played out of his mind and a guy that got 15 and a half sacks. Give me a 4,000-yard, 28-touchdown quarterback and a 15-and-a-half sack guy, I'll win a ton of games in the NFL. I'll win a ton of games in the NFL. If I can huck it around the field, score touchdowns, and sack the other team's quarterback, forget all your other little nuances and all your cutesy little stats and everything like that. I'll win tons of games in the NFL if my quarterback plays elite and I can sack the other team's quarterback. So that's what I'm looking for, is I want to see how this team gets coached. And we won't know that until we start to get into regular season football. Everything else will be sort of window dressing, and you can watch for your tendencies and nuances and this, that, and the other. But the biggest thing that has hurt this team over the last 3-4 years is their inability to adjust and coach and change and basically out-scheme the guys on the other sideline. It never happens with this team. We never watch this team out-coach anybody. No matter how bad the other coach is, it felt like we never could get over that hump. So, but all good. Obviously, nothing really should be bad to report in a little mandatory minicamp for a couple of days here. All right. Well, when we get back, can the Braves make any changes to get this on track, or is it just let's hope the status quo can figure it out? We'll talk about that next. Chuck, we're hanging out in the Keys Studios on Sports Radio After the Game, Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios on this Thursday evening. 404-741-0929, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey.com app site catches on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. At JMCH316, he's at JarvisD90. We'll talk to our buddy Sam Mitchell coming up in about 20 minutes from now. Of course, NBA analyst, NBA TV, TSN, you see him everywhere, of course. Friend of the show, friend of mine, former co-host as well with me. But Braves replay is on right now, so we get to watch the replay of all this nonsense. Braves lose today, of course, 4-3. Businessman special, get out day, travel day, getaway day, I should say, is what they call it in the big leagues. In extra innings, now 1-6 in extra inning games, 29-31 on the season. Now are in third place, a game behind Philadelphia, four games out of first because the Mets don't play today, so they're going to lose a half game no matter what in all of this. So lose the series 2 out of 3 to Philadelphia, and now get ready to take on the Marlins coming up for 3 this weekend before they come back home, which will start on Tuesday because they get a day off on Monday. By the way, if you're looking, Marlins are 26-35. They're 500 at home, so they've been at least respectable at home, but they're 2-8 in their last 10. So they've been really stinking it up, but what does it mean nowadays for the Braves? What are the Braves going to do? We had Gabe Burns on last night talking about some things. I brought up the idea of this starting pitching staff. Does this look like, look, you get Anderson rolling along, and here's what I'll say about Tucker Davidson. It's great what he's doing so far. But in a 162-game season and guys adjust, what does Tucker Davidson look like come October? It's great right now in 3 starts. I get that. It's awesome. But 3 starts does not a season make. And before we start anointing, well, look at the top of our rotation. We have Ian Anderson, Tucker Davidson. Okay, great. So that's who we're trotting out against, Bauer, Kershaw and guys like that, and Walker Buehler, who just won't lose, or whatever group of guys you want to talk about, right now. We'll talk about the Brewers. Brewers won again. They're red smoking hot, right now. Woodruff and those guys have been terrific in their starting staff. It's, so we talked about, where the Braves starters are. Bullpen-wise, what are they going to do? What would they do? So let's first look at it from this standpoint. Do I think that the Braves will make any moves or any changes of any significance to roster, coaching, anything else? No, I don't. Do I think the Braves will make some kind of roster move? Yeah, they'll go find a reliever from the Royals or, there's a couple of teams. The Royals have some decent arms. The Rockies have some decent bullpen arms. Maybe they go and make a move for something like that. But it's certainly not going to be a move that's going to get you excited. I don't think Will Closer's losing the closer position. And it's strange to say a guy, Will Smith's only got 1 blown save. That's true. He blew his first save. 59 games into the season was the first time that he blew a save. Problem is he's got 5 losses. when it's a tie game and he comes in, they lose most of those games. Or extra inning game, they lose most of those games. He's 1-5 on the season with an ERA that's close to 5. Which isn't easy for a closer either. Think about a closer that's got a 5 ERA with a 1-5 record. You don't see that very often. That's not exactly a stat line that gets you. But outside of, at some point, if they decide to go with Shane Green, Braves aren't going to get a closer. They're not going to spend closer money on a guy. So they're going to have to figure it out with what they have there. Middle relief. Okay. Like I said, maybe they add one more arm, but, you know, Martin had a rough one today, but they like Martin. I like Martin, and I don't have a problem with Chris Martin. He's not getting moved out. Minter's been, you know, good at times by and large. The one guy now that I can't stand to watch pitch is Sean Newcomb. He's just awful. He's 15 feet outside. It's no wonder Contreras can't catch anything. He's got to stand 7 feet outside of the batter's box just to catch some of those pitches Newcomb's throwing up there. So they like a lot of their guys. And, you know, going into the season, they were supposed to be a pretty good bullpen. And, you know, they didn't have Shane Green at the start of the season. Now you got him. So outside of maybe some mid-level kind of move, there's nothing going to drastically happen there. Are they going to make any change in the dugout? Because that's what everybody keeps texting me. They're not. They're not. I'll say it like this, and you're going to have to prove me wrong. And I may be 100. I'll admit going into this right now here, 7:27 and 5 seconds on, what is today, June 10th, Jarvis, 2021. I will fully admit on this take that I may be 100% wrong. I don't think that the top brass of the Braves would let AA make the move on the manager. That decision, any managerial move moving forward, I firmly believe comes from the top brass. That's McGurk, that's Schurholz, and guys like that. Even whether AA wants to or doesn't want to, I don't think at the end of the day that will be his call. I think they'll take his input and stuff, but I think the final arbitrator, when it comes to the manager, because of the heritage and the lineage, and as crazy as that may sound, you're going to have to convince me otherwise, because I don't believe that decision comes from the general manager. The Travis Schlenk in deciding to move on from Lloyd Pierce. I don't think the general manager is the final arbiter of that decision in this organization. You've had the same managerial lineage for how long now? With Bobby, Freddie, and Snit. For how long? When's the last time they went outside of their organization to get a manager? So why would I all of a sudden in 2021, after the last 30 years of doing it one specific way, why would I believe suddenly they're going to change now? They hired the manager before they brought the general manager in. Right? Remember that? Snitker was already here before AA got here. So you're going to have to prove it to me. I may end up being wrong about that. I'll fully admit it. But until you prove it to me, I don't buy for 1 second that the general manager of this team is the final decision maker at changing the manager. I don't. Nothing tells me about that he is. It's not happened in the past, and I don't believe for at least the next few years. And I'm not even advocating that you need to fire Snitker. I understand why Snitker's the manager, and he deserves a chance to get this right. But if you're not going to change the manager, you're not going to tweak the roster, because the one thing that they got to go do is go get a regular left fielder. They need to go get themselves a regular left fielder every day. And I'll say again, I think the type of left fielder that they need is they need a guy to hit in that two-hole and put Freddie back in the three spot. I need Freddie Freeman batting, even though his exit velocity and his weight adjusted. Did you see the stat today? His weight adjusted speed or something is the same as last year. Okay, all these nutty terms that at the end of the day tell you that even after a 2-for-5, he's only hitting 228 on the year. All right. I want Freddie Freeman with more at bats with more guys potentially on base. That's what I want. That's what I want. That's why I want him hitting third. Ideally is find me a left fielder who can hit two. You want to leave Ronnie at the one spot? Fine. He stays at the one and go find me a two. Or put Ozzie back there or get me somebody who can get on base in the two spot that has some speed. And I want Freddie back at the three spot. I want him to have as many opportunities with as many guys on base as they can. And I don't think hitting second right now gives him a lot of opportunity outside of Ron. I don't think that he gets much of a chance to get as many guys on base. Because I got to have my run producers in run-producing roles. And I understand that injury and things like that is the necessity of why you have them. I get it. You don't have Ozuna and he's hurt and this guy and that guy. I understand why they're doing the things. They don't have Darnell and this, that, and the other. But with all due respect, they haven't lost a single thing at the catcher spot with Contreras' bat. They may have lost some with the glove, but they haven't lost a single thing. That guy's got 20 RBI and less than 100 at-bats this year. Okay? That's 80. He only got 400 at-bats in a season to be an 80 RBI guy. You take that all day long from your catcher. I had a catcher that gives me 75, 80 runs driven in. You take that all day long. I don't care what the name is on the back of his jersey. I don't care what it says back there. You take that all day long for it. So I would love to see a left fielder that hits near the top of the order. You know, second, you know, because they're not going to move Ronnie out of the leadoff spot. And drop Freddie back to three. And let Riley hit behind him or Ozzie hit in the cleanup spot or whatever. But one more guy at the top of that lineup to get on base and try to score runs. And let my run producers come up with potentially more guys on in front of them. I don't think they need another masher and all that kind of stuff. They got guys. They got enough guys who can mash the ball. Freeman can mash it. Riley can mash it. You know, Ozzie can, you know, hit the long ball. Ozzie's been a 20-plus homer guy at second base. And by the way, it's not like they don't hit enough home runs. Their problem is the exact opposite. It's not a matter of they're not hitting enough home runs. The problem is they need to find a way to get guys on and create more runs in other ways besides the home run. We've been talking about this all year long is let me find some ways to get guys to score and touch home plate safely that don't have to do it as somebody else trots around the bases. Now, will they go out and do something like that? I don't know. Because that's a player, that's payroll, that's this, that, and the other. Do I think that they'd bring on some expiring contract guy to do that? Nope, I don't. I don't. Do I think that they'd take another guy who's got a decent-sized contract on? I don't know. Depends on what that contract is. And for all those people that say, well, the battery and the pandemic and all, okay. The Braves spend 8.5% above the league average in payroll. Let me repeat that. The Braves currently spend 8.5% above league average. Now, I know they ain't going to spend like the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Dodgers or whatever. I get that they're not going to spend at that level. But you're spending 8.5% against the mid-range franchises in Major League Baseball. Even the Blue Jays spend more money than the Atlanta Braves. So they're spending 8.5% above league average. That ain't nothing to brag about or whatever. Well, you know, pandemic and, you know, the battery and all. Okay, right. They had no money. And well, you know, it's an asset. Okay, well, there's your problem if it's just an asset. And by the way, if Liberty Media can't find $10 or $12 million to invest in the Atlanta Braves to make them a World Series champion, then there's something really wrong with how you're operating your business. You have to spend money to make money. Anybody ever heard that saying before? You spend money to make money. When we get back, the great Sam Mitchell will join us, talk some Hawks basketball and some other NBA news as well. Chukri here, hanging out in the Keys Studios on this Thursday evening. Sports Radio, Net Time, The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live here on this Thursday evening as we get ready for Hawks basketball coming up tomorrow night. Of course, back here at State Farm Arena will be a packed house. MLK jerseys will come out on Monday for the second of the two games here in Atlanta. Let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Nobody better that's going to break it down for us. It's our good friend of the show, my friend Sam Mitchell, joining us. Of course, NBA analyst. You see him on NBA TV, TSN. Follow him on Twitter, at SamMitchellNBA. And by the way, the guy who told us a few weeks ago on air that he thought the Hawks could beat the Philadelphia 76ers. Sam, you know, you're a you know, a profit or, you know, again.
First of all, I told people the Hawks were going to beat the Knicks. I know we have a lot of so-called slash Hawks slash Knicks fans in Atlanta. So from now, but I told them that was going to happen. The Hawks, you know, everybody just got caught up in the fact that the Knicks beat them three times in the regular season. But the playoffs and regular season are two different animals. And I want to say it again. The Hawks can beat Philadelphia. I think people saw that after game one. Doc Rivers had to make some tremendous adjustments to get the win in game two. And now it's up to the Hawks coming home for game three to make their adjustments.
So how does Trae Young adjust? Obviously, Doc has decided to go a different route with how they're going to defend Trae. So now what adjustments, you know, Trae Young coming up, I know 21 and 11, you know, most guys would love to have that, but compared to what Trae has been. So what does he do now to adjust and change his game to try to, you know, offset what Doc has done?
Well, if you watch Philadelphia, what Doc Rivers are doing right now, they're coming up. So the guy, when the Hawks run that high screen and roll with Capella and Trae Young, the defender who's guard Capella right now, he's coming up to what we call a hard hedge. And what Trae Young is doing, he's holding on to the ball, and he's trying to throw high arcing passes over the traps. Well, he's a small guy, and you saw in the game too, Philadelphia were getting a lot of deflection. So what he's going to have to do is, one, he can get rid of it early. So as soon as he see that defender step up, John, he's got to step through the defense and get rid of that ball. And that next guy has got to get the hockey assist and make that swing pass to the corner. And at the same time, Capella's got to sprint to the front of the rim, because now that back line defender's going to have to make a choice. He's either going to have to protect the rim from Capella and at the same time try to get out there to get to one of the Hawks shooters. So Trae can definitely make some adjustments. Nate can make some adjustments. And this is why you love the playoffs, because the Hawks won game one. Doc Rivers made his adjustments, which gave them a chance and a win in game two. And now the Hawks being at home, let's see what Trae Young does. And I believe he can do it, John. What we're seeing is a star, a true star. In the past, Trae was just, in my opinion, was a guy that could score points on a bad team. You look at the leaps and bounds that he's made this year. He's learned how to play with other good players. And now he's figured out how to play winning basketball. So we're watching a young star grow up in front of our very eyes.
Has anybody benefited personally in the playoffs right now more than Trae Young?
Well, I think the whole Hawks. I think Nate McMillan. I think the general manager, Travis, is – you know, everybody starts shining a lot brighter because, you know, look, first give Travis credit. I thought the roster that he put together this offseason was very deep and very good. And you see that now. Think about this. Cam Reddish still hadn't played. Now you just lost DeAndre Hunter, which I don't know how that's going to affect the Hawks, man. DeAndre Hunter is one of my favorite players on this Hawks team and in the league. He's one of those glue guys. He does a little bit of everything really, really well, defends his man, knock down threes, can put the ball on the floor. They're going to really miss him because it just taps into that depth. But, again, the depth that the Hawks have, man, and hopefully they can get some of these guys back, but their depth is going to play huge. And so I just like this team. I like how they play. But you look at Trae, you look at John Collins. I mean, all these guys. And I tell you what, John, now you see why the Milwaukee Bucks wanted Bogdanović so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Can you
yep.
imagine him on that Bucks team?
Yep.
But it may not make a difference if he was on the Bucks team, because it seems like the Milwaukee Bucks have no interest in winning and advancing to the next level because they're playing Brooklyn-style basketball. That's another conversation for another station. So let's get back to the Hawks. Get me started with that.
Sam Mitchell joining us here at the WaitFor.com hotline. Hawks, obviously, and 76ers. Tomorrow night, all your action right here on the home of the Hawks, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. In these kinds of series, when the road team has stolen the game in the first two, how important does game three become? You know, in just any series in general, how important is a game three as to how the rest of the series is going to start to shake out?
Well, now the pressure shifts. See, John, people don't understand. The pressure is always on the home team. Always. It's never on the road team. When you're the home team, you know you're expected to win, right? So people have more lofty expectations. On the road, you're not expected to win, all right? You're hopeful on the road. So now this pressure shifts to the Hawks. the really good teams defend home. All right, they play loose, they play with confidence, and they defend home. And I like the Hawks. I like Trae Young. I like when the Hawks are talking trash and playing emotional, but not getting caught up in emotions. And so when I watch this team and watch how they play, man, again, I don't know how they're going to overcome DeAndre Hunter, the injury to him, losing him. But hopefully I hear Cam Reddish may not have a chance of coming back at some point in the playoffs if they can keep winning. But, man, if the Hawks make the proper adjustments, I think this game three is going to be unbelievable. And I just think Clint Capella is going to have to put more pressure on Joel Embiid. He's going to have to run him more because right now Joel Embiid is dominating him too much.
Sam, it feels like, though, through two games, it feels like a series where Embiid is going to get his, but you can't let Harris and Curry, you know, combine for 44, 46, 48, or you're going to have a hard time overcoming that. Forget what Ben Simmons
does. This is the problem, though. This is the problem. Okay, if you're saying Joel is going to get his, that's fine. It's fine if Joel gets his and he takes 30 shots. But he's getting 35 on 18 shots.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because he's 16 times
He's too efficient.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God, man. He's so efficient. And then he's getting to the free throw line double digits times. So when you factor in the fact that Joel Embiid is averaging over 30 points a game and he's very efficient and not dominating the basketball, that means those other guys don't have to be efficient, right? They can be 6-for-17 and they can still beat you because it's the playoffs. But now if you can make Joel Embiid take 28 to 30 shots to get his 35 points, now it puts pressure on the other players. Now they have to be efficient. And so as long as Joel Embiid is this efficient, it gives more opportunity and takes the pressure off the other players for our Philadelphia.
Sam Mitchell joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So this is probably, honestly, a conversation that would take about 2 hours for you and I to hang out and do a show. But I want to get your thoughts on this because I've been talking a bit about this, and Jarvis and I have kind of talked about this. You look at guys like Westbrook and Dame, and, you know, depending on what happens with Philadelphia, how is it that there are some of these guys that are so great individually, not good, but great players individually? And I know it's a team game, but it feels like that there are some guys that can overcome things and will their team to win, and there are some guys that are great individual players that just can't get their teams over the hump. What is it about the difference between what one guy, what Steph Curry can do to lead his team to a title that Westbrook and Dame can't lead their team to a title?
It's John, that's a great question, man. And if I really could answer that would be the keys to the candy store, my friend. You and I would be super rich. We'd be owning teams. Because think about it. If you could figure out how to take a Westbrook, Bradley Beal, and a John Wall, and all these great individual players, and could get them to play. Because think about it. Westbrook averages leads the league in assists, but it don't always translate into winning, to your point. He's a great player. So how do you do that, man? That is a great question, John. The only thing I could give you, man, is that you have to try to put up a system. Look, I like the system. You know, everybody likes this Q system where everybody gets to touch the ball, right? That's great. The problem with that running passing game and all that, you know, the spacing and flowing and all that stuff that they're running now, the problem with that is, take a team like Dallas. Porzingis don't know how to play that way, right? You have to run plays for him. Go back to Golden State when Kevin Durant was there. You remember when Kevin Durant got there, everybody kept saying, how are they going to play? Because Kevin Durant used to get plays ran specifically for him to get the ball in his sweet spot. Did you see the adjustments that Steve Kerr made? He put in some of those sets for Kevin Durant, right?
Yeah.
You have to do that for special players sometimes. And Porzingis is one of those guys that don't know how to play and don't know how to take advantage when everybody's touching the ball, passing it, cutting. He needs specific plays that he knows that when he catches it or he gets a screen or something, he gets it in his area, it's designed for him to get a shot and for him to score, the new offense. He needs specific plays in specific areas where he knows he's going to get dropped. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. Last thing for you, Sam. I got about a minute left. LeBron and AD are knocked out. Harden hasn't been playing. Giannis probably gets knocked out in this round. Luka's been knocked out. You potentially could have Joel Embiid knocked out. You're moving toward conference finals and an NBA finals that's going to potentially lack a lot of star power this year. How concerned do you think the league is in a league built around stars? A lot of those guys are not going to be around much longer, you know, in this year's playoff.
Listen to me carefully, my friend. It's time for new stars. They're always coming. Look at the draft.
Right.
Look at these kids coming out. Look at how skilled these young players are. LaMelo. Look at the kid here from Georgia, Edwards. So they're coming. And so it's time for the new ones. Look at Donovan Mitchell. Look at Ja Morant. All right. Look at the new. Look at Devin Booker. Look at DeAndre Ayton. Look at our guy. All right. I mean, Trae Young, John Collins. I mean, they're coming. And so if I'm the NBA, I'm excited, man, because at the end of the day, people get tired of seeing the same old people all the time, right? It doesn't feel fresh. Let's see what Donovan Mitchell do in a conference final. Let's see what some of these other Devin Booker can do in a conference final. You know, let's see Paul George. Let's see some of these other Joel Embiid, Trae Young. Now we're getting to see the depth and how deep the talent is in the NBA. So if I'm the NBA, Adam, man, I am excited about the playoffs this year because, again, it proves that there are different ways to put your team together to compete for a championship. Now, if just think of it like this. If Utah wins, they have a superstar in Donovan Mitchell. They have a great defensive player in Rudy Gobert, and everybody else is just good players. But in the past 3 years, everybody's been thinking, we got to have three superstars and we can't win. We got to have three superstars and no other role players can make more than the minimum. If the Utah Jazz wins the NBA championship, it would be the best thing for the NBA and all 29 of the teams.
NBA TV, TSN, you know where to find them. NBA analyst Sam Mitchell joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Sam, appreciate it, my brother. We will talk soon.
I listen to you, man, and I miss you. And one night I told Jarvis, hey, man, one night you got to get me in for your show, and I'll sit with you for a few hours.
Don't worry.
We got to catch up on all sports, man.
I was
going
to say,
don't
worry. The wheels are spinning, Sam. I'm already three steps ahead of you on all that because I want to get you in. So.
I know you are, my friend. You always were.
You got it. Appreciate it, Sam. Thanks, buddy. Chuckery here.
Thank
we'll
you,
be
John.
Back. Sports Radio 92 on the game and the Odyssey.com app.